Welcome back to Life at the Spectrum. I'm your host, Gina Cavalli. And, my husband and I have been watching some TV recently, and we noticed a lot of sign language being used. And then about a week or so ago, I ran into a young girl on the spectrum. She couldn't have been more than like 7 or 8. And she was hearing impaired. She was deaf and she was autistic. And I was like, oh my gosh, that layer, an additional layer of therapy and learning sign language at an early age, just to try to get through. I mean, how hard is that? And, we are a disability friendly show here at Life with the Spectrum. So I wanted to bring on today Anna McDuffie. She's a sign language interpreter with A&E Webb Associates. Hi, Anna. How you doing?
Hi, Gina. Good. And you?
I'm so good. Thanks for being on the show today. I wanted to quickly talk about how you feel about like movies like Echo and shows like Killing It. You know, how awesome it is to finally see, sign language being brought to the masses.
Yeah, I think the representation is wonderful. And I feel like the deaf community is getting a bit of a renaissance with that. So there's been a lot of representation, The Walking Dead, The Eternals, Hawkeye, things like that. So yeah, it's becoming more prevalent.
Right. And, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what it is that you do. You work with AE Webb and Associates. You're a sign language interpreter, but you like travel. You're always busy.
I am. So I'm a sign language interpreter. I primarily now do medical and legal interpreting. I also do other community jobs at this point. So I've been doing it for 32 years or so. So long time. And I work for myself. So AE Webb and Associates is just me incorporated, really.
Oh, okay. And when you say you are going to legal and doctors, so are you like physically going to doctor's appointments with people who are hearing impaired?
Yes. So it's with deaf people or hard of hearing people, I meet them there. So I'm hired by the doctor's office. I'm hired by the court. So I don't work. I don't always even know the client when I get there. We kind of look in for each other. And then I'm hired by the, let's say, doctor's office, and I'll meet the client at their doctor's appointment. And then we'll go through the process of meeting with their provider, just like you would, only just through an interpreter. And then same thing with court. The court will hire me if there's a deaf litigant or a deaf party in some way, or even like a deaf juror for jury duty. A couple of weeks ago, I did a murder trial with a deaf juror.
How did that work out? I'm so intrigued. I mean, I know you maybe can't give all the ins and outs, but tell us.
Well, it was interesting. I mean, we didn't know they were going to pick the juror until about 7:30 at night on Monday night. And then the trial started Tuesday. So we had to get our schedules worked out. The two of us, there were two interpreters and one deaf juror. So he went through the entire trial process, and we interpreted to the jury and then interpreted the deliberation. And that's that. They got a verdict. And
wow. Is that crazy? Mm-hmm. Were they found guilty or not guilty? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. Guilty. It was guilty. I can't say where or who,
no,
but
I wouldn't want you to, but I bet you meet some interesting folks this way then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot. Meet new people every day.
Do you ever get called to Hollywood to teach actors and actresses how to sign?
Well, yes, but I can't really talk about it. Yes, I did film and television for about 5 years.
Oh, sweet.
Interpreting for deaf actors.
Yeah, and we have such a big film industry here in Atlanta, which is where you're based out of. When we get back with Anna McDuffie, she's a sign language interpreter, we're going to find out how autism and being hearing impaired kind of go hand in hand. Stay with me.
At Atlanta Swim Academy, we offer a free baby splash class, ages 3 to 5 months, for amazing parent-child bonding, socialization, water acclimation, and cognitive development opportunity. We are the Atlanta Swim Academy.
Welcome back to Life with the Spectrum. I'm your host, Gina Cavalli. With me today, Anna McDuffie, a sign language interpreter. And I mentioned in my opening that I met a young girl who was hearing impaired, and she also had autism. And I thought about it for her parents, what that landscape must have looked like when they first initially got the diagnosis, and then going through not just all of the different therapies, but also having to learn how to sign. Have you come across individuals that have had both?
Yes, I've worked with several clients that are on the autism spectrum, and their communication needs vary. They're as unique as the individual person. So we kind of meet them where they are as far as communication preferences. For example, sometimes they don't want to make direct eye contact, which is necessary for sign language. So sometimes we'll sign really low and they can look off to the side and watch our hands and not have to make eye contact with us. Sometimes it works better through a device. So maybe they're looking at an iPad and I'm just signing into an iPad in the same room, but they don't have to look at me. They can look at the device and that's more comfortable.
Where do you get called to work with folks with the autism spectrum disorder? And that, I mean, obviously court, doctors, what, but I mean, do you ever get called into schools or anything like that? Like, what's the weirdest place talk about? I'm sure people want to know. They're intrigued, you know?
I mean, I've worked at the Marcus Autism Center several times for different phases of treatment and diagnosis for different individuals, all ages. And probably a few doctor's appointments. I don't really do K through 12 interpreting, so I don't have as much, that's just not my preference for my work. So I haven't had any school children that I interpret for at school that are on the autism spectrum, but definitely for the more clinical work that I would do.
I would imagine that's very interesting and another layer added to a family that, you know, is now having to go through different therapy, not speech, but language, OT, possibly speech, and then learning how to sign all the time. When we get back, I want to find out what you think about schools and why it isn't mandatory when it comes to signing. Stay with me. Welcome back to Life with the Spectrum. I'm your host, Gina Cavalli. With me today, Anna McDuffie. She's a sign language interpreter. And what I thought was interesting, Anna, is my niece took sign language as like an elective in her high school. But research shows that when you start young teaching a child a second language, like I just don't understand why in public schools we aren't teaching Spanish or Mandarin or German or French, you know, in first grade, kindergarten, preschool, you know, as early as that, when their brains are like sponges. Why aren't we doing that with sign language? Because there are hearing impaired people all over the world.
Right. I know. I agree. I wish they would. I mean, I think you have to make sure you're finding qualified people. Deaf people are always the best teachers of ASL. So I always caution people, if you want to learn sign language, make sure you have a deaf teacher because it's more of them teaching their language. So when you learn sign language through a hearing person, it's a little once removed. So it's a better practice to learn from a deaf person. So I mean, there's some high schools that I know that offer it, but not all. And I know I hear that often, that people wish it would be more of a common option like Spanish.
There's a little market that I'm on the radio in Silver City, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And one of their liners that I read for them is they always offer up ASL classes for free for beginners and intermediate learners at the library. And maybe they do this here and I just am unaware of it. But I think this is like something that should just be really taught in as part of the curriculum. It's like one of those specials that kids can go to at a very early age, because in order to, you know, especially when kids come across other kids with different challenges, you know, they can meet them where they're at. And that makes a child's life, it can change the trajectory for a child with other friends around them and things like that. So it's that important, right?
It's an inclusive experience. And it would be great if their classmates could talk to them, even just a little bit, you know, of conversation. And then there'll be certain ones that'll take to it and want to learn more.
Anna, what would you like people to know when it comes to what you do or when coming in contact with someone who is deaf?
Well, I would just say deaf people are just like everybody else and they can do anything that we can do as hearing people. There's really no restriction except maybe your lack of sign language is their limit, right? So I think just shifting our focus from focusing on a disability into just a unique cultural group of people with rich heritage and a language that they share. And no deaf people are the same. It's just as diverse as any other culture. And because it has a unifying language, it is a culture more than a disability in the view of most deaf people. And I would say I would love for a deaf person to be saying this to you and not a hearing person. But since I am here, I guess I would say that. I would just say dive right in and and communicate as best you can and treat them just like everybody else.
When you just said the cultural thing, isn't ASL, that's American Sign Language, but if somebody was to go across the pond, they, like, how do you fare when you travel abroad and meet with deaf people? Like, is it hard for you to communicate?
Yes, it's much harder. Every country mostly has their own sign language. There are some that, like Canada, uses American Sign Language, but Britain has British Sign Language. It's completely different from American Sign Language. It is one of the harder ones for me to even try to hang with. French Sign Language actually is more similar to American Sign Language because a Frenchman came over to America and sort of integrated French Sign Language into what was already sort of a homegrown American Sign Language that started to develop in Martha's Vineyard. There's a really interesting history with that. Just a high population of deaf people on Martha's Vineyard, so the whole island could just would sign with each other. And then once there was a deaf school that opened in Connecticut, the America School for the Deaf, the first deaf school, a lot of the deaf people moved over to Connecticut and the deaf population of Martha's Vineyard decreased. And so there isn't that high concentration of deaf people there. But that's how our American Sign Language started, was on that island and then kind of mixed with a French sign language derivative that has kind of grown into American Sign Language. But every country, to answer your question, has their own sign language. So you kind of have to use a lot of, there's some international gestures and some international sign systems that you can come up with a way to communicate, but it's not an international sign language. There's more just sign, international gestures.
You know, just being able to speak, would I need to know French? And then in order to learn how to sign in French, like that's, you know, that's another layer of, you know.
If you wanted to spell proper nouns, maybe, but like I went to Japan with my husband. My husband's deaf and we met some Japanese deaf people and I learned a little Japanese sign language, but I don't know any Japanese, but I know a little bit of Japanese sign language. So I could get by better with deaf people than hearing people in Japan.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for being on the show. How can people find you if they'd like to reach out?
Sure. Well, gosh, I don't have a website, so.
That's okay. Do you have an email?
AnnaMcDuffie@att.net and I'm just a freelance interpreter and I do Atlanta and beyond. Sometimes I'll go travel for work and stuff.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Anna.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I mean, that was really cool information to know that even Anna has a hard time communicating when she travels abroad with sign language, because in every country it seems to be different, right? And it is true. I really think that there should be a push between adding sign language and an additional language, whether that's Spanish or Mandarin, French, something that's going to help our kids stay competitive as they grow up. It's much needed in this world. And it also, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't help our kids help others, right? It starts with us and then it can become generational. Thank you so much for checking out Life with the Spectrum. Each and every week, you know, our goal to bring you new guests that are, you know, making a world of difference in the world of disability. And so if you know somebody that you think I should be talking to, whether it's here in Georgia or wherever you live, make sure you comment below, put their name, or email me, Gina@gcast.com. It's GKASTS.com. Or look at my website, gcast.com, and you can connect with me that way as well. Moving forward, I'd love to book an episode with them if they're making a difference. You make a difference showing up each and every Sunday to watch these episodes, or whenever you grab them as a podcast, you can grab them there too. I appreciate you checking out Life with the Spectrum. See ya.